This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Yes, they continue to hit the ball hard, and it doesn't matter who's at the plate these days for the Yankees. They beat the Red Sox 4-2 Sunday night, and as a result, they have now won 10 straight over the Red Sox at home. Remarkable stuff. It is Savages in the Box for this Monday, August the 17th. Plenty to dive into here. The offense on the backup side continues to get it done. Mike Ford, a couple of hits, drove in three runs, including a two-run shot. Gleyber Torres on fire, 12 for 25 over his last eight games with seven runs and seven walks. He was 2 for 3 on the night. Mike Tauchman, a couple of more hits. Yankees just seem to be able to turn to anybody in big situations and get them to deliver offensively, especially after the news that they were losing DJ LeMahieu after Aaron Judge had already gone on the IL. The DJ LeMahieu news became official on Sunday. We will get into more of that in just a little bit. Bigger story, though, of the night was Jay Happ, 5 2/3, three hits, one run. It was earned, two walks, three strikeouts through 75 pitches. And if we're going to be honest about it, the bar has not been set very high for Jay Happ this season. So, comparatively speaking, the manager was easily impressed.
He was great. I thought he was aggressive in the strike zone. I thought it was probably the best life we've seen at the top of the zone since even going back to spring. But the two-seamer really played for him as well. He mixed in the slider enough. I don't think he threw a ton of changeups, but I thought he was at the bottom and top of the zone and on both sides of the plate with the fastball really effective. And he was pitch efficient. I mean, he was, into that sixth inning and really dictating counts and dictating the pace of everything. I thought he was terrific.
Let's call it what it is. This was an important start for Jay Happ. When you have a shortened season and clearly not as much room for error when you're a starting pitcher on the New York Yankees and you're not doing your job, there's a strong opportunity for you to lose your job. And that is doubly the case with Jay Happ, considering he has this whole vesting option situation. Now, if you're unaware, he, in a regular season this year, had he made, I believe it's 26 starts or pitched 165 innings, a $17.5 million option for next season would have vested. Now, that number is not simply prorated. That issue is still getting worked out. The last that we heard, what he would have to do during the shortened season to have that option vest for next season. The vested options across baseball, that was one issue that didn't necessarily get cleaned up when everything was finally agreed to and they started playing. So, Happ's in a bit of an odd situation here. First of all, the idea that he needed to go out and pitch well, there's no question that he felt that pressure.
Honestly, I felt like it was a big game for me. You always want to get back on track. I try not to think of consequences here or there. I just think I wanted to get back on track, and I wanted to, if I was going to get beat, I wanted to get beat sort of being aggressive and more being the type of pitcher that I have been. So again, I think just trying to focus on a pitch at a time, and that sounds cliche, but worry less about the pitch before and the pitch after and more about the one that you're about to throw.
Now look, he hadn't been good and he had been skipped twice. But when you're a pitcher who has a vesting option and you're skipped twice like that, you would think it would start to raise an eyebrow that maybe they're going to do their best to not have my option vest for next season. And if you're the Yankees, do you really want to be on the hook for $17.5 million for Jay Happ next season? So it's been a point of contention. Now, Happ was asked directly about that option after the game and said he didn't want to discuss it maybe in due time because that seems to be something that's still going on. But as far as being skipped, he did have some conversations with Aaron Boone over the last few weeks.
I had two conversations with Boone. One of them I thought went very well, and the second one I didn't think went very well. We both said what we needed to say, and it's fine, and we're kind of moving forward. I sort of expressed some things to him in a previous meeting and felt like it went well. And then, of course, when you're the next time, nobody wants to get skipped. Nobody wants, you know, I want to be out there and pitch every 5 days. I feel like I should be. So that's what I mean by it didn't go well. There was no argument and nothing bigger than that. It was just, I didn't expect it, I guess. That's why I'm saying it didn't go well.
Now, logically, considering he hadn't pitched well, to go ahead and skip him was nothing that you would call crazy, especially in a shortened season. But this option now adds an element of drama to the situation. And when you hear Hap talk about it, you wonder if at some point here, if they skip him again, or if they are cutting down on his innings. He only threw 75 pitches, 5 1/3. They got him out after he gave up a hit in that sixth inning, but it was a pretty quick hook. You wonder if they are going to give him less of a rope to work with, considering that option could kick in for next season. And I totally get it from a Yankee standpoint and from a Jay Happ standpoint. But if you're Jay Happ, there's only one thing you could do, and that's continue to pitch like you did on Sunday night. If you do that, you're not going to have a problem. Okay, a minute on Gary Sanchez. It's clear that he's headed in the right direction. I am not going to proclaim him out of this altogether. But if you watch at bats, you see Sanchez over the weekend lay off some pitches that he has not been laying off. He clearly has a better idea of what he's doing at the plate, and he's not psyched out. You know, Gary Sanchez strikes you as one of those guys that when he's going into slump, he's gotten himself out before he's even gotten to the plate. And that's not the case right now. The numbers are not jumping off the page. He's hit 3 home runs over the last 4 games, but I would also caution that he is a feast or famine guy. Now, I do see a lot of good things. I feel like he's completely on the right track. You just want to see that turn into larger production. I'm not knocking him. Of course, 3 home runs is a lot in 3 games, but just get on a bit of a hot streak here, a la what Gleyber Torres has done. Now, Torres hasn't hit home runs, but he's 12 for his last 25. And, you know, he was in equally as bad of a slump as Sanchez was to start the season. We'll see if this does turn out to be a very positive development, but I'm not 100% sold quite yet. Okay, we transition with another coolish sounding sound effect. All right, let's spend a few minutes here on Aaron Judge. Now, look, it's obviously good news. It sounds as if Judge is ready to go right now. And obviously, he can't go right now because he's on the IL, and next weekend would be the earliest that he could return. But he says he feels 100%. He's going to start some baseball activities and hitting on Monday and feels like he could play in a game right now if he needed to. So let's get the update from Judge himself on the situation and also how it's kind of wearing on him.
I've been healthy and been feeling great. This is the best I've felt in a while, you know, so that's why I'm pretty frustrated, you know, being put on the IL for something that's just a couple day thing. But, you know, just working with the Yankee staff and talking to other doctors, it's just more precautionary and probably best overall to miss, you know, 1 week, then kind of push through it and eventually, you know, miss 3 to 4 weeks.
I want you to keep something in mind. Judge said that on Sunday. He didn't speak Tuesday after he was taken out of the game, and he didn't speak any time since. So that was at least 5 to 6 to 7 different opportunities to speak about the injury and clarify it for everybody. And he never did and left his manager out there to try to do that. Now, that's obviously not an ideal situation, because if you're Aaron Boone, what's your number one priority? It's to protect your players. And Boone does that better than most managers, I think, in Major League Baseball. Possibly he's the best at it. But at some point, it has to wear on you when you have to try to continue to not lie about the situation, but you're somewhat evading giving the entire truth because you want to do it from a competitive standpoint, and you also don't want to speak for the player at any point. Problem is, the player isn't speaking. So Judge gets annoyed that he's being put on the injured list. And it seems as if there was a back and forth, so to speak, between him and Aaron Boone.
It was just something going back and forth with Boone, our doctors, our trainers. But no, I wouldn't say I'm frustrated with the organization. You know, this is kind of shows how much the organization, I guess, you know, cares for me and looks out for my well-being. Is, you know, not, they don't want me to go out there and push it, you know, so they're, I can't be frustrated with this organization. You know, it's just, I'm frustrated with, you know, myself not being out there, but yeah, it's part of it. They're just kind of looking out for me and, you know, trying to, you know, just what's best for me, I guess.
Yeah. Bear in mind, that's a follow-up answer from what you heard just a few minutes ago. And so Boone, who spoke after Judge on Sunday, naturally was asked about it and the fact that the two had really kind of gone back and forth about whether or not he should be put on the IL.
We had a lot of conversations, a lot of back and forth about it. It's hard because, you know, I know who he is. I know the competitor he is and obviously the greatness that he brings to the table. But I think when you're dealing with just enough of a soft tissue, like for me, it was a little bit of an easy decision just based on not wanting this to become a big issue. And, you know, if that meant a couple of days now, I thought that was the smart way to go.
So even with him saying he's 100% and it seems like it's progressed pretty rapidly, you don't second guess the decision?
No.
It's telling. And what my overall point here is this. If the injury wasn't that big of a deal, why weren't you talking about it for 5 days? And you might look at that and think I'm kind of nitpicking at it. But in Aaron Judge's situation there, you have a responsibility. When your teammates are answering questions for you about your injury, when your manager continues to do so, and you're not out there doing it, that's not exactly the message you want to be sending to the guys that you're with. Aaron Boone does his best to protect everybody. So let's just say if Judge is now getting worried about the perception that he gets injured a lot, which over the last couple of years, you could point to whatever the injury was. That perception is becoming reality. If he's worried about that, why not get out in front of it? Why not say earlier in the week, no big deal, I'll be back later in the weekend. And now on Sunday, it's I'm so annoyed because I'm on the IL. Yeah, I think that this was a situation that Judge very much could have handled better. No question in my mind could have handled better. And I think put not just his teammates who had to answer questions about it, but his manager in some bad situations where you're continually looking for an answer that you don't have a complete answer to. If it truly was no big deal, we could have found that out a couple of days ago, no?
Cue awkward sound effect transition.
It obviously was a good weekend from a results standpoint, but it was a bad weekend in losing DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu on the IL and losing him for any period of time. That is the most important player on the New York Yankees for the last 2 years. You can look at last year, why he was even in the running for the most valuable player was because of all the injuries that they dealt with. And now this year, they have lost Stanton. They have lost Judge for a period of time. They have started to get hit in some spots. And DJ LeMahieu has been a constant. Not just because he's such a consistent player, but just the kind of player that he is. He is not feast or famine in any way. Gary Sanchez, as we've talked about, is making his way back, but we all know that those streaks get exceptionally long for Sanchez. This kind of thing never happens with LeMahieu, and you find out last year, especially in the postseason, why he's so important. Because it's not just about trying to hit a home run in every big spot, even though he did that. It's about trying to come up with a big hit in every situation. Doing whatever you can with whatever the pitcher gives you. So here's the update on LeMahieu, first of all, from Aaron Boone.
Right now, it's just a sprain. It's not broken. In some ways, I think a little bit relieved of kind of fearing for the worst last night, but we won't really have anything definitive probably till tomorrow.
And that's because he's going to be getting a second opinion on the thumb. Why are they getting the second opinion?
It's just getting it in the hands of a hand specialist. So overnighting all the imagery, getting it in the hands of the hand specialist also that's treated DJ before, that was familiar with his injury from 2018. So just kind of making sure, everyone's seeing what we believe we're seeing.
Now, here's the good news about LeMahieu. That injury that he had when he was with Colorado in 2018 and only hit 276, the thumb was broken as well. In this situation, that's not the case. It's not broken now. And surgery is not being talked about. So when you hear Aaron Boone say they're encouraged by what the early indications are, you have to feel much better about that. The second opinion thing always scares the daylights out of you, but I trust it when I hear it about LeMahieu, that they just want to confirm that this is just exactly what they've been told so far. And just go back again to Saturday when he got hurt. Think about how difficult it was to get him out of the game. All right, first he had the swing where clearly he injured the thumb and is walking around the batter's box and is absolutely refusing to come out of a game. You know, there are some times when players are putting on shows to make it look good, and then they do come out of a game. That's not what LeMahieu is all about. And I was super impressed with not just that, but the guy goes on, he grounds out, then he goes into the field, they're having a big discussion then, and doesn't come out until later. Because Boone clearly didn't trust LeMahieu to tell him the complete truth about what was going on. And frankly, I don't blame him, because when LeMahieu comes out of a game, you would think that he would have to have a broken leg or couldn't do it. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't even walk, for Pete's sake. I'll tell you, the toughness that LeMahieu continues to exhibit is just super impressive to me. And hopefully this is just a case where it's the 10 days and out, because the Yankees without LeMahieu, to me, that would be, outside of Gerrit Cole, the single most damaging injury that they could suffer going forward. With LeMahieu on the IL, the Yankees recalled Miguel Andujar from the upside down, Scranton, whatever you want to call it now. And he looks like he is going to play later on today. Now remember, Andujar was sent down because the Yankees want him to play every day. And he hadn't shown the ability to be able to play off the bench with sporadic at bats and be able to deliver. So this is an incredibly important time here for Andujar if he wants to stick in the big leagues and really contribute this season. The only way he's going to be able to do that is if he can show that he can hit in limited opportunities. He's not going to be in the lineup every day, and he has to be able to be flexible with that. Play in the outfield a little bit in left, obviously play some third base when he's called upon, and with inconsistent at-bats, find a way to deliver when those chances come. That's going to be an exceptionally important part of his development. Mike Tauchman has been able to do that. Clint Frazier has been able to do that. It's borderline absurd, but when it comes to the Yankees for Andujar, this is now something that he's going to have to learn how to do after the incredible rookie season he had in 2018. All of that accomplished, and he is still fighting to stay in the big leagues. But this is the only way he's going to be able to do it. Also back later on today, and this is excellent news, is Aroldis Chapman. Now, the Yankees' depth in their bullpen has been nothing short of spectacular thus far. They've done an amazing job. But now you slide Chapman right back into the closer's role, and now Britton's not even set for the eighth inning, but could be. And boy, that is, beyond the sixth inning, a nearly impossible group to hit against. And Chapman, you think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to be 100%, but the fact that they're returning him to the big leagues this soon, I think is exceptionally encouraging. All right, one last awkward transition sound effect, and that brings us to the starting pitchers later on tonight. Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees facing the Red Sox for the second time this season. He, of course, faced them back when he made his first start of the year a few weeks back. 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 run, pitched very well in getting the win that day. And the Yankees will face left-hander Martin Perez. In his career, 5 starts against the Yankees with Texas and with Minnesota last year, 9.97 ERA, 9.97, 24 earned runs in 21 2/3 innings. Take the over. That does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. I'm Carlin. See you Tuesday morning. We outie.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.